Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again for another week of Turning Towards Life. It's our 420th week, and we're here, as we always are, bringing you a wonderful source that you've brought to us again, Lizzie. And I just want to say hello to everybody. Thank you for joining us. We know that you are all over the world and listening at all different kinds of times. And we're very, very glad to have you with us. Thank you for telling other people about these conversations, for sharing them widely, as we know many of you do. And really simply, thank you for joining us and being part of this ever unfolding conversation.
Thanks,
it's
Justin.
It's great to see you, Lizzie.
And you. So we have this source today. It's called Wings, and in brackets, for Miss, capital M-I-S. M-I-S-S, and it's by somebody called Ellie Steele, and it comes from a poetry book that one of my lovely friends gave me for my birthday called She is Fierce, and it's lots and lots of poems by women, and I would highly recommend it, with different wonderful categories inside of it. It's really lovely. So this poem goes like this: Wings. Under her wings I live and grow, and against and with the feathers soft and strong that open over the heads of all who reach up, guiding up and out, until the wings flutter away and we who are not in need grow wings for ourselves and open them up to those without wings.
Thank you, Lizzie. And just before I read, I'll say you can always find the sources in our show notes and also on our turningtowards.life website, where, if you wish, you can sign up to get our weekly email, which also includes the sources too. So I'm going to read this again, and I'm going to invite you all, if you're maybe if you're in the midst of something else. We know that many of you walk or do the vacuuming or who knows what, whilst you're listening to this, making tea or something, just to take a pause and maybe to take a breath. So this is Wings, and it's by Ellie Steele. Under her wings, I live and grow, and against and with the feathers soft and strong that open over the heads of all who reach up, guiding up and out, until the wings flutter away and we who are not in need grow wings for ourselves and open them up to those without wings.
Thank you, Justin. So I stopped just like you invited us to, Justin, and just closed my eyes and listened and received this wonderful poem. And I felt this image come of a bird in a nest and a bigger bird doing what it would need to do in order for the little bird to have a chance in the world. And I'm feeling, you know, we talk about this word power a lot here, and this poem brings me into contact with just how much lineage matters, you know, like how people have gone before us and done things and taken care of us and paved the way and enabled us in all kinds of ways so that we might grow wings and then serve the ones coming beneath us in the order of things. And to me, this is such a wonderful definition of power. Like this is a given power that we have to nurture and to also intend on leaving those less winged than us with more wings. And I love that thought, and I love the feeling that this is what is naturally bestowed on us because of the order of things. Like I come before some people and other people come before me. and that this is what we can do for one another. And I, in part, brought this as well, Justin, because I think this is part of the, really the heart of the method that we teach. Method doesn't sound right. The way of being that we have, the underpinning philosophy, the essence of what it is that we do in our coaching work, which is that we have a deep intention to wing one another. To when you come to me without wings in a particular place in your life, and we get to be together in service of you developing wings there, so that when I move away as the person holding the process for you, you're left with your wings. You're not left with me being your wings or something. You're left with your own set of wings. And I think in our work, that seems to me such a central kind of pillar of what it is that we're ever doing when we're with each other in the context of coaching, in the way that we do it. And I think we would call it something like self-generating. So being someone who is able to take something up and on themselves because of being in a relationship which has enabled something and left its own little legacy right there, which is of someone feeling like they can take it forth and for it to belong to them forever as a skill or a capacity or a learned something that then gets taken into life forevermore, as it were. And so this is a thing I love about this metaphor of wings, is that you can't kind of ungrow wings. You know, once the wings have grown and we've nurtured them, they are themselves and you can't ungrow them. And I think that's part of a big piece of our work. And this poem obviously completely stands alone, but it felt to me like very aligned with how we would speak of one of the really big underpinning pieces of our work in the world.
I'm watching a TV series at the moment, Lizzie, I don't know if you've seen it, called Shrinking, which is about therapists and a very particular situation. One of the things that strikes me is it's about, at least as far as I've got, it's about a person who's trying to help other people. He's a therapist, and he's mostly been in the mode of doing a lot of listening and hoping that his good listening would help people on their own to be able to do the things that they need to do. And at some point he figures out that he has some things to say as well to them that might help them be able to be in their lives more fully, that it's not all down to them and that there's something more than listening. And I was thinking about that whilst you were talking about it, because I was thinking about all the different modes that there are of helping one another in the world. And there are very many, and they all have different, qualities and possibilities going for them. So for example, listening really deeply, I think, is really called for, and many of us don't get listened to well. So being someone who can be alongside and pay attention really matters. And as well as listening, this poem brings in something really extraordinary, which I absolutely love, which is it's our work in our own lives to grow wings and to find the ones who will help us grow wings. So it's got this premise that we start off without wings. We're the ones without wings, and we come across people who have taken the trouble to grow some wings, and then they can help us grow wings, and then we can help other grow wings. So there's the possibility of listening, yes, and really deeply attending to what it would be for the person who we're listening to grow wings. And that's something more than listening, actually. It involves speaking and being in very particular ways. And that is why I'm completely smitten by the first line of this poem, which goes like this. Under her wings, I live and I grow, and against. And I didn't spot it until I read it to you, that the line, that word against has in it the quality of interplay and relationship. If you and I are in something and there's both living and growing and against in it, this is why I'm thinking about having been watching Shrinking a bit, just at the beginning of that, is that in order for me to be somebody who helps you to grow wings, I have to also be somebody who will say, I can see this about you, Lizzie, and I've got a different take than the one that you have. There's a different way of understanding what you're in the middle of, a different story than the one that you're telling, and maybe some different skills than the ones that you're currently bringing. And it's not enough for me to listen to you going round and round and round in the thing that you're in. It's necessary, and it's like necessary conditions. But it also really helps me in a way to be prepared to be against whatever current circumstance you're in and for your unfolding, which means not just agreeing with everything that is in your life, but also being able to say, Lizzie, I can see something over here. It may be different from the way that you're seeing it. It may call on you to start to ask for what you really want, or find out what your heart longs for. Or it may call on you to stand taller in your life, or to soften. Or maybe it's going to call for you to quieten down when you normally insist and listen to others. Or maybe it's going to call for you, like all kinds of things that might in some way seem to be against the current familiar way I have of doing things, but then are for the up, guiding up and out until you have your own wings by which you can flutter away and you need not borrow my wings anymore at all. And I'm really glad that that's articulated here, because I know that that's a huge part now that you've brought in the way of coaching that we teach and bring to the world through Third Space, Lizzie, that it feels really important to say that there's a really exquisite possibility of learning to be with others in this way, where we'll pay attention to both the for and against that we can bring just by me being me and me being different to you, and then offer it as a gift and as an invitation.
I'm really enjoying, Justin, this invitation of the words, the living, growing, against, with, soft, strong, reaching, guiding. It's a beautiful way of receiving this poem to feel into what the invitation is to me as a person who wants to be like this in the world, who I intend majorly to be this way, to be someone under whose wings others' wings may get to become the strength of wing that's needed for the thing that wants to be done, or the piece of life that's happening, or whatever. And so to feel this invitation to be living, to be alive, to be growing, to be someone with whom againstness is possible, and that we don't have to move away from one another because there's againstness in the system between us. There's also softness and strength and openness and withness. I'm enjoying that I can be against and with at the same time. So I'm with the feathers, and I'm again, and there's againstness there as well. And that there's strength. It just paints so beautifully the picture. It's so funny because this poem literally is emerging to me now as I'm looking at its words and drawing out the bits and wondering about the connections. And I'm feeling it's such a kind of a potent, concise, brilliantly put together, crafted piece of poem. And I want to thank Ellie for being this, I think potent is the word. It feels like if we diluted it, it just could go everywhere. And I'm really grateful for that. And feeling very called as well to I just love the way that language also kind of leads to places that feel important and feel like they support us in like restating the depth of our intention or something. And I think that's what this poem does for me. Is it's, first of all, it handles the topic of power really beautifully, of like, well, what is it? Like, who am I when I have more power than another person? Well, maybe I'm the person who enables, maybe I'm the person who nurtures, maybe I use my power to allow flourishing in ones who come after me in some sense of order, and who maybe have less powers than I do right now in a particular way, in a particular scenario. And then it calls on me to be a certain kind of person in order to do that. It calls on me to have some strength and ballast, to have substance, to have care and softness, at the same time as the capacity for people to, for there not to be agreement only, but for there to be tussle and againstness inside of it. And also with the intention of growing and being alive and reaching and expanding, and knowing that guidance is just an inherent human need and also capacity to be of service in a kind of guiding way. So I'm really appreciating how it handles both aspects of the power conversation that I feel like I'm continuously in with myself and the world, but also what it's calling on in an individual way of like, well, in order for this power to be realized, these kind of attributes of humanness are very, very helpful.
As you're talking, Lizzie, I'm looking at the way that this poem is laid out. And I'm going to encourage any of you who are listening to go to the show notes or go to our website and take a look, because it starts very wide and then it gets very narrow in the middle and then it gets very wide again. It's really beautifully laid out. And it seems to me that it has two parts joined by this middle part. So the first part is to do with who we have to be for one another in order to be able to do this. We have to be people who, so to coach in the way that we're talking about. Actually, I'm going to take the middle first, Lizzie. So the middle lines are up and out. So the first dedication that we have towards another person, if I'm coaching you, is to your up and outness. In other words, it's a kind of hopeful orientation that whatever you're in the midst of, I know that you may not be able to change your circumstances, or you might be able to, but it's really being faithful to that human's endless capacity to learn, that we can both cultivate skills and qualities that we didn't have before endlessly in our lives, and that it's possible in doing that to, in a way, kind of step out of the current familiar way in stories that we have about things and encounter the world with fresh possibilities that might allow us to change our world in some way, or it might allow us to live differently in the world that we're in. But sort of faithfulness to the up and outness of humans, that we're not fixed, that we have endless possibilities of ways of being, seems to me a really central commitment. So I'm not just going to sit with you for 6 months whilst you churn around and round in the midst of the difficulty that you're in, because I'm really committed to your up and outness, that something can happen here. So the first part of the poem is about who we have to be. We have to be the kinds of people under whose wings, in whose relationship, people can grow, and we can be soft and strong, like you said, and we can be both alongside and against. We can be in realness, really, with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we can bring new things as well as honor old things. And then the third part of the poem, where it opens up again after up and out, is until the wings flutter away and we, those who are not in need, grow wings for themselves and open them up to others as wings, which is a really deep and fierce commitment to the what you called the human capacity for self-generating earlier, which is that if I'm working with you, one of the ways for me to use my power really generously and helpfully and healthily is to bring all of my capacities to be someone who supports you to grow, to be suitably for and against, to be soft and strong, but to use that in service of your growing wings by which you can flutter away.
Mm.
In other words, at some point, because of the encounter that we've had together, and because of the attention and care and strength and softness and intention that I've brought your way, and because of your participation, we're faithful that you will have some new wings with which you can fly away into your life, and then our work is done. And that commitment to your to the integrity of your own capacity to be one who authors your own life, who is responsible for your own life. Seems to me also without that, I might, yes, be very helpful to you. And I might be very committed to the up and out, but I also might be secretly harboring a wish for me to get my longing to be, you know, to be understood or to be loved or cared for met by coaching you. And then I might want to keep it going forever. As long as I am deeply and sincerely committed to the life that you are, not to get something in me, some hole in me filled in by working with you, then I can be all of these things. I can be really strong, loving, inviting, truthful, possibility-making holding. I can help you, as you said, cultivate all of the kinds of qualities and skills that will help you meet your life. And then I can be committed to letting go.
Mm.
And that's what the cycle is. It's so beautifully expressed in this poem.
Yeah, it's really moving to hear you say all of that, Justin, and to feel what it is that is, you know, our intention in the world spoken of in this way. And I'm feeling this thing of, you know, there's this word coaching that exists in the world. And that is defined in so many different ways. And I'm feeling really satisfied in this moment that this is our definition, partly. And it really matters that that exists in the world to say, this is what we mean when we say that word. And we're always thinking, oh, that word's not the right word. And what word is the right word? And we don't know. We're saying a word. And then we have to define it. It really matters to define it and to know what we're actually saying when we say that word. And for us, it's integral coaching, which for me means a kind of working in service of inclusion. The word integral, like to integrate something means to include it. And I feel like if we don't spend time defining all of these things, how do we know what we're even saying? So I feel really good about that. And I'm also feeling like I can't not be thinking right now, Justin, of our current coaching cohort, to whom actually I'd like to dedicate this poem as an acknowledgement of who they're being in the world right now as they enter into other people's lives through conversation and understanding and impressionability and holding, and that they are cultivating these capacities for themselves in the context of being with another human being in a one-to-one way, and to appreciate that this is what we've encouraged and maybe done some wing giving ourselves. But that those wings, it does feel like a lineage to me, the wing giving, the wing nurturingness being handed down again and again and again, and feeling the ripple effect of what it is that we do is quite something. And to know that their power and our power is being held like this and brought more thoroughly into the world with every round of our year-long program that we do, with every round of our two-day foundations program as well, that these learning experiences and these journeys of becoming have this at the heart is such a brilliant reminder of the deep intention of it all, which I think is why people are called to come and work with us, to listen to this podcast, to spend a year of their lives dedicating themselves to service of others, all of that. So I'm feeling very connected to and moved by, and want to, I don't know, wrap my heart around the people who are really intending on this in their lives. And of course, people are doing this all the way around the world in all kinds of ways without doing our work at all. And that really matters too, that more and more of the world are doing things like this, more and more and more and more, especially in the strange and upending times that we're in at the moment. It really feels like this matters.
I'm thinking too, Lizzie, about the group of people who are coming up to just over a third of the way through our year program, like you said, and are entering into this after 4 months of preparation of us supporting them to grow a particular set of wings are now beginning their work for the first time for the rest of the program of helping other people grow wings. So I'm with you in wanting to dedicate this to them. With great thanks to them, actually. I think anybody who learns, like you say, there are lots of ways of helping people, but anybody who learns how to become an integral development coach in the way that we're talking about, it's a generous and courageous thing to embark upon. And like you said, there are lots of different ways of helping in this way of being of support to other humans. And we're talking particularly about the one that we've grown committed to and that we're teaching. And I've got two sort of fresh thoughts coming. So one is one of the philosophers whose work that we talk about quite a lot as we're teaching, as you'll know, Lizzie, is Martin Heidegger, whose work I have really come to love. And one of the things that he points out is that we're always in stories, and there are so many different stories about ourselves that are possible. And very often shifting the story about ourselves is what helps us to grow wings. In other words, if I tell a story about myself that is very committed, for example, to me being very fixed, it might be very hard to grow something new in me. But once I start to know myself as someone who is changeable, then a new possibility begins. And part of coaching is inviting truer stories and kinder stories. Kinder stories are ones that really recognize how much capacity and possibility there is in people, which this poem has. And Heidegger has this fantastic language that I've loved for a long time, which is that it's possible for us humans to do two things that are really relevant to this. So one is that we can transcend the stories that we're in at the moment. In other words, we might be completely caught up in a sense of my own identity, but it is actually possible for us to begin to get our heads and shoulders outside of the existing story and sort of look at it from the outside and go, oh, that's a story. There are other ones. And linked to that, it's possible for us to leap, what he calls leaping ahead on behalf of another person's life. So it's possible for me, if I have the right kind of attunement to you and the right kind of care and the right kind of faith in your capacity as a person and in mine, it's possible for me to pay really close attention to, oh, Lizzie, I can see something of the story you're living in. And part of my role is to leap ahead on your behalf, to be the one with wings. It's a little bit like flying up 20 feet and saying, Lizzie, from up here, here's what I can see. And that means two things that are very exciting for both practicing and learning coaching. So the first is that we have to learn how to be really, really well attuned to other people. In order to be able to do this, I have to be able to listen to your life. And like you said about it being integral, I have to be able to listen to the whole of your life, not just the something that brought you into this conversation. Like, who are you being in the whole of your life? Because that will be where the current tussle or difficulty or something that you're in comes from. And that means not just listening to myself. I think a lot of us just listen to our own stories. Mm-hmm. I have to listen to you as you, not as me. And then the other thing that I have to be able to do is I have to be someone who's been dedicated to growing wings myself so that I can, I have the breadth and the depth and the creativity to say, here's another way that you might see this. But not only that, here's a way that you might experiment or practice or live into another way. And in order to do that generously, as in the way that Ellie Steele writes about it, not as an imposition on you, but as an invitation, I have to have really understood and lived what it is to grow wings myself and to know that it's tender. I mean, growing wings is tender. They burst through your shoulders mm-hmm. and be raw and painful as well as exciting and life-giving. Mm-hmm. And never to underestimate, never to put myself in a position. That, what I notice about Ellie's poem is there's no superiority in it. Mm. The ones who've grown wings aren't better kinds of people than the ones who are growing wings. It's a whole different orientation, which is we really get that some of us get to grow wings earlier and some of us follow. And the ones who grow wings earlier, we can bring something really generous and dignified and mutual, and we can still bring what we see. We don't have to hold it back. We don't have to just be for. We can also have that sort of againstness in it. And so the poem doesn't only talk about what we do for one another. It also talks about who we have to be in order to do that. And part of the joy of learning to coach is cultivating all of those qualities in us. The sensitivity, the capacity to see and be accurate, the capacity to name things and invite things, capacity to be alongside without superiority, but also with generosity. Like, it's all here in this poem. And it is one of the exciting things about learning and practicing coaching, is that it calls on us to constantly attend to this in ourselves. And in doing so, our lives deepen and widen, because they have to, in order to be able to be ones who can support other people in their lives deepening and widening. And in that, it's very unlike many other kinds of work to do in the world. There are lots of things that we do in the world that don't change us. Mm-hmm. And they're very important and very valuable. I don't get changed very much by washing the dishes. It's really important. But then there are other things which will change us as they change others. And that's what we're talking about. Mm. And I think it's really important to name, actually.
Well, as you're talking, Justin, I'm realizing that one of the feelings of strength that I know exists in my work with others is just being really explicit about how held I am by others. Like, there's a system of holding here. It's not like I'm holding the world for 100 people and no one's holding me. I have to have an optimum feeling of I'm held in multiple different directions so that I can be somebody who holds. And I think that also is really helpful in like positioning ourselves in a healthy way of, I'm always in receipt of help and wing generation from other places in order for me to be doing that here right now. And so then people who are being held in this particular scenario don't feel like I'm being burdened or something, or I'm holding them at the expense of my own life or something, but that it's a very straightforward system of holding where we're paying it forwards, backwards, sideways, upwards and downwards all the time. And for me, that's what it means to be in a community of people practicing something together, is that there's multi-directional holding all the time. And I also feel like being a person in the world who's growing and wondering and curious and open and reaching means that there's people who are holding me who don't even know they're holding me, just by being who they are in the world and writing what they write or speaking the way they speak or singing the way they sing. And to kind of receive that holding for myself and that invitation for myself, like all those people who do that Heidegger thing of jumping ahead in my life, some of them are known to me and I'm known to them, and other people are known to me and they've got no idea who I am. And I'm pretty sure that some of that holding has got nothing to do with me knowing them or them knowing me at all. But there's human beings and other beings in the world who get what this whole thing is, and who do that thing that Heidegger's suggesting that we can do for one another, of leaping ahead and feeling the potential of our hearts and our longings, and then painting those pictures. And I think that's why, to me, art and theatre and play and all of that is so profoundly important, because I feel completely held by that realm always when I'm in encounters with it. And it feels like a very generous and creative act to turn our lives towards that jumping aheadness and to seeing what's potentially true in all of us, and holding true to the stories of that and the plays of that and the creativity of that. And then the holding is not only kind of personal, but it's also part of the world that we're walking around in and interacting with as well. And that's how I receive it for myself. It's like it's all an invitation and a way that I could potentially feel held and nurtured and led in the direction of my growth. So feeling really connected to that and really appreciative of it, and really grateful to Ellie for having this poem be on paper and published in the world, that we could benefit from it as a way of our wings are becoming, because of her wings being what they are, to have written that poem. So I want to say thank you to Ellie. I want to say thank you to you, Justin. Thank you to us for doing this together. And thank you to our wonderful ones who listen to Turning Towards Life, who might be coaches, who might not be coaches, who might be swimming teachers or dads or dog walkers or drivers or lawyers or whatever anybody is in the world, but that this is a central and really important conversation that we're all in together. So thank you. And thank you, Justin, for seeing so much and being opened by all of this, as always.
Thank you, Lizzie. My parting word to you all is also to say, if you're still, thank you for listening to the end of this. We're recording this in October 2025. In February 2026 is the next opportunity to come and learn with us at Third Space, to spend a couple of days. Our Foundations of Integral Development Coaching Program is running then. And we spend 2 days, really, I think, in the spirit of Ellie's poem. And it's online, so you can join it from anywhere in the world. So if you're interested in that, again, we always mail out on our turningtowards.life mailing list, or you can head over to wearethirdspace.org and find out about it there. Maybe we'll meet some of you then. Okay, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.